credit board meeting about half an hour ago.
Yeah, right.
The decision was, firstly, the committee, we raised all the issues with them.
Which committee is this?
This is the Management Investment Appraisal Committee.
So Management Investment Appraisal Committee?
Yeah, it's an internal board.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the decision is that they are not prepared to write off the liabilities and rent in isolation without seeing some proposal which shows that there is some future for the company, or in terms of future viability and also possibly investment in it.
So in other words, we have to continue in Ireland or we're going to be bankrupted?
No, that's not what I said.
Well, that's what it amounts to.
They're not prepared to write it off in isolation. They want to see it in the context, a request like that in the context of where you're trying to drive the company to in the future.
Well, I think that's been obvious for 5 years, no?
In relation to the building.
Yeah.
On the building matter, which was discussed at length, they said that in terms of the building, IDA has written to you asking you if you wish to purchase the building.
Mm-hmm.
The building is not the property of Ferbert.
Mm-hmm.
You should discuss the building issue with the IDA.
And they tell us every time we talk to them we have to talk to Ferbert.
That's not the case. What I'm
going to
do is I'm
going to
put it in writing.
You see, Kevin, our attitude is that we would never have embarked on this project were it not for the undertakings that we were given, both written and verbal. We would never have embarked on product development had we not been told that the parameters were profitable, exporting, and employing. Yeah? The whole story about the subordinated loan is a red herring. How we decided to do that was based on a decision by ourselves not to bring any more money into this country till this matter was cleared up. Yeah? And that's the reason the subordinated loan was taken out. At the time, there were cross payments between the three companies, a substantial amount of money between Belgium Trade Pages Limited and Willie Holt Ireland Limited. The way we wrapped them up was as a result of Forbert's actions, not the cause of Forbert's actions. Now, the fact that the company has been in limbo for a year is a fact, you know. I mean, it's undeniable. You cannot expect a project to continue or us to invest any more money or put any more effort in when we don't even know what the parameters are. We've had a year of this. Now, I think the way we've been treated is disgraceful, and I think, frankly, at this stage, it is time to just put it to public opinion as to how they feel about everybody we've briefed so far, you know. We've briefed a number of journalists off the record with undertakings that nothing would happen without our say-so, and their reaction is that it's a bloody scandal, the way we've been treated. And that's our story. Now, if the idea of your board or committee or whatever it is now is to create a situation where basically we're being blackmailed. We're being told that we're looking at a creditor's liquidation if we're not prepared to come up with a plan that involved the company staying in Ireland. The company came to Ireland on the basis...
Paul, that's not what we're saying. We're saying...
If I make a deal now, for example,
please,
Kevin...
We have agreements with yourselves, which...
Before we breached its agreements with ourselves on a number of occasions...
Well, I mean,
Forbert sent a financial expert in here with assurances that he would not be allowed to act on his own behalf. The financial expert attempted to acquire 50% of this company without any investment, and Forbert went ahead and supported him against us. And that's a matter of record, Kevin.
Well, Paul, you know, you put forward those claims in terms of our.
They're not claims, Kevin. Believe you me, we've enough evidence to back it up.
In terms of position with ourselves, I did as I said I would do. I went to the board. I sought a decision from them. They had all the full facts and the decision is that they made the decision that they're not willing to agree to write off the contingent grant liability and the amounts owing without in isolation, without seeing some proposal which shows that either there would be investment coming in or some viability plan for the company.
Look, there's two aspects to this, Kevin.
They're just not going to write it off without that knowledge. The second thing is, in relation to the building, what they said was that you should raise the matter with IDA, that they have not the power to say to you, we are going to give you an option agreement on this building. The building
but
is
they did have the power to withdraw the option agreement.
Sorry?
They had the power to withdraw it.
There was a legal agreement there in respect of conditions on the option agreement.
I have a taped conversation with the solicitor that sent me a letter, a registered letter, saying that the option was withdrawn due to the fact that we didn't comply. And she was shocked when I told her that the contracts for the sale of that building had been sent to Ballyfermot. She had not been briefed at all by Inforbit about what actually happened.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, Paul, if contracts were sent, then contracts were sent from our organisation, you know.
Right, and then subsequently, so, an IDA solicitor was misbriefed to send us to withdraw that option. Forbit withdrew the option, and now Forbit says they can't put it back, that it's the IDA who have to put it back. Now, I don't know who the hell I'm even dealing with here. We've been swapped around from committee to committee. You know, we started off with Mort O'Connor, with the Cork committee. I know for a fact that the Cork board don't know what's going on, except for what I've told one particular member of that board. Now, it seems to me that the whole thing is an absolute bloody fiasco, and that we're going to be the meat in the sandwich. Well, we're not going to be the meat in the sandwich, Kevin. Now, there were two aspects to this agreement. One was this a systematic policy of entrapment? Or has it turned out to be a de facto entrapment, financial entrapment? If, for example, I make an agreement now with the Indonesians, yeah, and I pay everybody, I pay the taxman, I pay all the creditors in Ireland, I load the thing up and I take it out in containers, your organisation will do me for preferential treatment of creditors and will bankrupt me. Now, that's the legal facts of the matter, and that is the form that the blackmail is taking. Now, I said to you, all the way along the line, for the first half of the last year, I was saying, forget the contingent liability. We want to stay in Ireland. We want a framework to stay in Ireland. We don't give a damn about the contingent liability simply because it is only operation if we're leaving. Right? Now, then we went ahead and we decided, okay, we need a lifeboat because I'll be damned if I'm going to have a bankruptcy. Right? And I said, okay, Forbit, you don't want to know about this project, you're not interested in this project, you want your bloody building, fine, let us off the hook and we'll go away and you get your precious building. But no, they want to screw us. But fine, if this is the road you want to go down, Kevin, we'll go down it. We're well prepared. Every single conversation from the moment that I realized who exactly Mr. Bennett was, every single document, every single conversation has been duly recorded.
Fine.
It's a matter of record.
Okay.
The whole history is disgraceful. And to turn around now and try and use that contingent liability to entrap us will be seen to be what it is.
Well, the contingent grant liability isn't being used to entrap anybody.
So what's its purpose then?
The contingent grant liability, as I said, the board considered a request, which was, would they write off the contingent grant liability and rent outstanding? And what they said was, we're not willing to do that on the basis of the information that we have in front of us at the moment, which is they do not have a specific proposal from the company as to its future.
Okay, well, if we say that on the basis of that, on the basis of the fact that we can assume that the IDA are going to look for £35 a square foot for this building.
Well, I think that you, rather than making assumptions like that, maybe the best thing to do is to ask them.
Ask who?
Well, the person who wrote you the letter in the IDA, Farnham Tanham is the person that deals with those buildings in IDA.
Farnham Tanham. Do you have a number for him?
Yeah.
You go understand it from my point of view, Kevin, looking at it from a personal point of view, you know, and from the point of view of us as a family business, you know. I'm sure you can appreciate how it looks from our side.
Yeah, Paul, the intention is not to entrap anybody.
But the board,
we went through all the facts of the matter.
Have they got legal restraints though, or what? Or is this a matter of policy?
They're not in a position to write off continued grant liability and rent owing without having... The decision by the board was that they would not write off those amounts without having a specific proposal from yourselves in relation to scenario you intend to pursue.
So this is the fact that they are conscious of the fact that this will block me from being able to sell the building to a competitor and get my family out of this in one piece.
What do you mean sell the building to a competitor?
Sell the business to a competitor. I mean, you have to imagine, Kevin, that before you came on the scene, we weren't even allowed to bring in any investment.
Well,
that's also a matter of record.
Well, that's not as I perceive it at all, Paul. My perception of it was that you were talking about taking an investment from a number of different sources.
No, there was one source at the time. It was MBI and Corp were prepared to come in here, but they wanted control. Right? And they were prepared to come in here and put in a CNC machine and take over this business, and I was going back to Belgium and we were going to forget about it, but the business would stay here and I would have a minority shareholding in the company. And we were prepared to live with that, and Morta Connor blew it right out of the water. And that's a matter of record as well.
So, if
we were in a situation where we were told we needed investment, and then we were told if you get investment, you can forget the deal on the building. Now, whether Mr. O'Connor felt that MBI weren't a suitable partner, that's perhaps his opinion. But frankly, I never envisaged when I came to Ireland that I'd have a civil servant telling me how to run my business. You know?
That's not the situation, Paul. But the legal agreement between yourselves and ourselves are in relation to both the grants, and there was also then an option agreement in place.
Mm-hmm.
And in relation to the grants, the amounts paid provided for a contingent liability, and the board are saying that they can't write that off until they have sight of a specific proposal which shows where the company is going in the future.
Well, I can't. You know that's chicken and egg. I can't put a proposal in. I can't get a proposal, an agreement for a proposal put in place if the company is squatting a building in Ireland and is in dispute with the IDA. You know that as well as I do. It's just not... It may be fine in civil servants, but in real business, it's just not going to work. The first thing an investor's going to say is, what's the story with the building? Is it leased? Is it rented? Or what is it?
Yeah.
And what am I going to say?
And really, the solution is that there are alternatives there, but it has to be a total solution as opposed to a part of it without knowing the other part of it.
Yeah, but I mean, I cannot negotiate with potential investors and put together a plan that makes it feasible for us to get over the 3-month hole between now and Christmas. Right? I can't do that if I don't know where the hell I stand. And that's the de facto situation. We don't know if we can buy the building at all. We don't know that if we can buy the building, at what price. Even if we did buy the building, we don't know if they're going to say, okay, you can't sell it for 20 years. We don't know where they're going to come from. We've been left in an impossible situation. And on that basis, on the basis of that, we're supposed to go away and interest investors in the project. I mean, give us a break, Kevin. I mean, it looks to me like we're being lined up, and the hope on their side is that we're going to fall over, and that's been consistent throughout the year.
That isn't the hope, and at no stage was that the position.
Well, surely they must know. Surely some of them must have some business background, and they must know that it is impossible to put a package together without knowing where the hell we stand vis-a-vis on Forbert and the IDA. And leaving aside the morality of it, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is, we never agreed to 22,500 rent. That was dumped on us when the containers were already in Ireland. the letter of proposal that we acted on said free of all rental charges. And then they snuck that in afterwards, and when I said, that's a lot of money for a factory that's been empty for 6 years, they said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you'll never have to pay it. Joke, you know? And me, idiot that I was, I thought we were on the same side. I thought the IDO and us were on the same side. I thought the idea was to get jobs into the west of Ireland. And I really never crossed my mind for a second that it would ever be an adversarial situation. Never entered my head, quite frankly. Shows you how naive I was. You know, so I took them at their word. And when the snooker market collapsed and we had to go into product development, I said, what's the real story with this? Because it kind of was worrying me, this story was subject to review. And I was told, if you're profitable and you're exporting and you're employing, you'll get the building. And on that basis, we went ahead. And that turned out to be a load of baloney as well. So we've been misled and entrapped. And then you send in an investor with offshore funds from Ballyfermot, in fairness. And then when he turns out to be who he is, and we show him to be who he is, Forbert goes ahead and ignores our protests and sends the bloody contracts to Ballyfermot. Then we go to our local TD, which we have a right to do, and said to him, how is this possible? He complains to Forbert. Within 24 hours, we were told we'd never get the building. Within 24 hours. So it must have been a real intensive series of meetings that night. And then we were told we were never going to get the building. And that I have evidence of also. So, I mean, if you guys really want to go with this, we'll go with it, you know. But I've said consistently throughout the year, I said, look, all you have to do is say, forget about Bennett and the rest of it. You can put together any kind of a thing you want to ensure that the building will not be used speculatively, that it will be used to create jobs, which was what it was actually built for. Yeah. And you can tie us up in any kind of contract to ensure...
What I'm saying to you is that we, the building issue, the board is saying that the building issue will have to be raised separately with the IDA.
Well, this is new. I mean, you have to admit, Kevin, this is new. I mean, we've been told this is Forbert. I mean, the vast reason getting from the IDA, quite frankly, is this is Forbert. They've created the mess. They can sort it out. We don't want to know. That's, frankly, what I've been led to believe.
Look, Paul, I'm going to put it in writing to you, the decision, and, I mean, obviously you're going to consider it and you're going to respond, so...
We've got till Wednesday. Either I have a framework that I can negotiate with these people arriving in Cork Airport on Wednesday. If I cannot, I believe you and me, Kevin, we'll show no quarter and there'll be no going back. It's as simple as that. This needs to be made public. And we will use the circumstance of this election to make damn sure that we have the maximum impact, and we're going to hit it not only in Ireland, but we'll hit it in Belgium. We are members of the Belgian Employers Federation. We will use every lever we've got so that at the very least, it'll never happen again. Right? 5 years is a long time to invest on undertakings that turn out to be complete codswallop. We never would have taken over Willie Hope and relocated, so we would have stripped it and taken the name if it hadn't been for what we were told and what we were led to believe. We would never have gone ahead. The Germans said to us when Snooker went down, they said, look, Paul, we've ordered enough tables to do a numbers. And I checked with the RDA, and on the basis of the undertakings I was given, I said, look, we'll go for the pool market, we'll go into other products. We've completely replaced our product range with very good products that are very promising. And then we end up in a war with the people who are supposed to be our partners in this venture. It's incredibly destructive. You know, an enormous, I mean, how many people, in fairness, Kevin, have enough, okay, we do have a hole in production, but how many people in this country in manufacturing, exporting to the EMU core, have sufficient orders to carry through till the end of the century? With a good brand. You know? And everybody's just looking for problems. The only possible interpretation is McLean's interpretation, which is that the idea is to do nothing and hope to God they fall over.
Well, that's not the situation, but you know what the board decision is. I'm going to put it in writing to you.
Okay. Have they really been fully briefed as to what's going to happen now?
Fully briefed.
They know what they can expect our reaction?
They have been fully briefed, Paul.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Cheers.